Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents of a Podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Hey everyone, welcome to episode 208 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. And full disclosure, we are recording this show earlier than typical because of a busy week ahead, and Chad and I trying to pin down a time to talk. And this is actually an idea that I was originally going to do as a Hour 6 Cents, where we kind of talk about some different things. But I think after talking with Chad, we think this could be a sustainable monthly segment here on My 1-2-3 Cents. And it's, you know, kind of those things that happened back in the day that it really didn't age so well. So Chad, first of all, welcome back to My 1-2-3 Cents.
That's always good to be here.
So yeah, we're going to talk, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, especially since you were just on Positive Cynicism, it's nice for you to return the favor and have me back on here.
Absolutely. So yes, Chad is the host of Positive Cynicism, and actually you're going to be doing some similar discussions on your podcast, Positive Cynicism, as we're doing with this particular topic, if you will, things that maybe didn't age so well back from the 80s and 70s, 80s, 90s, when we were kind of growing up and coming of age, to where we are today in 2018.
Episodes, I believe, 65 and 66 of Positive Cynicism. And 65, episode 65 deals with more social, historical context, and then 66 will be more pop culture focused.
Okay. So again, you can listen to Positive Cynicism and, of course, all the wonderful shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, including Greg Mahochko's Five Heart Podcast and Nerds United. Again, be sure to rate and review the shows and let us know what you're thinking about the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. So today's topic of sorts is going to be Rowdy Roddy Piper and adorable Adrian Adonis. And Chad, I'm going to say this, and I think you agree with me on this, but if you don't, or even if you do, I want you to weigh in as well. We are not here to rewrite history. We are not here to judge things that were said and done 30 plus years ago in WWF back then. We are just simply thought it would be a fun talking point. I like going back and watching old stuff. I know you and I both kind of grew up in that same time period, and our fandom is very parallel in that regard. So there is no bashing of Rowdy Roddy Piper, Adrian Adonis, or Vince McMahon, WWE. It's more of a look back and kind of, you know, I'm unapologetic about the things that I watched and was entertained by 30 plus years ago. And yes, some things don't age well, but that does not take away what their significance was or what their value was so many years ago.
Yeah, I'll take the quote or paraphrase a quote from Positive Cynicism, and that is, you and I are not wrestling historians per se. We're not sitting here trying to either, you know, point out that we are correct or everyone should feel the same way. We're here to open up a line of discussion and have talks to, which, as I always say on Positive Cynicism, is the biggest thing that we need to do in society today, is talk about things in a respectful manner and try to come to an understanding where we may not always agree, but we can understand where people are coming from. And then that's when you make your decision of, I guess, right or wrong, instead of just generalizing and going straight to a personal feeling.
Absolutely. And I hope that, our listeners, whether you agree or disagree with what we are saying, let us know, weigh in, and, let's have a conversation and, a discussion, because we're certainly not looking to offend anyone, but we're also certainly not looking to kiss up to anyone either. So that being said, let's kind of dive into the discussion. And for fans, wrestling fans who are, relatively new to the product, and by relatively new, I mean within the last 10 to 15 years, have started watching pro wrestling. Back in the early to mid 80s, there was a wrestler named Adrian Adonis. And Adrian had come over to the WWF from the AWA, where he and Jesse Ventura had wrestled as the East-West Coast Connection. Adrian wore a black leather jacket, had greased black hair, and was kind of a tough guy, a New Yorker type, and Jesse was the flamboyant California guy. Everybody remembers what Jesse the Body Ventura looked like. His wrestling persona was very similar to what his announcer persona became, as we kind of, he became the soundtrack and the voice of wrestling for us as kids. So Adonis comes over to the WWF. He very briefly was a member of the Heenan family, formed a tag team with Dirty Dick Murdoch. They picked up the WWF tag team titles from Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson. And Adonis is still wrestling in this black, black gear with the black jacket and the black hair. Somewhere along the way, I believe it was probably late 1985, early 1986, Adonis has a transformation of sorts, and gone is the black, and it's replaced with pink tights, bows and ribbons, bleach blonde hair, over-the-top makeup, and he becomes adorable Adrian Adonis and is paired with the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. And Chad, you actually watched the transformation of sorts on an episode of Tuesday Night Titans, is that right?
Yes, that was, as we were discussing before we started recording, When I was researching video of Adonis and Piper, my first instinct was WWE Network, where you should be able to find, you know, most stuff. And I understand that they have not uploaded their entire library, but the only thing that I could find regarding this was the segment. I think it was at the end of an episode of Tuesday Night Titans or TNT, and it was Jimmy Hart, Adrian Adonis, Vince McMahon, and then some beautician person. I think his name may have been Jack, but Adonis is sitting in the makeup chair. Jimmy Hart's, you know, giving him the positive speech and, just telling him how great he is. Vince is interviewing them as to kind of what's going on, and then the makeup guy is your stereotypical effeminate makeup guy, and he's putting on, you know, the makeup, the blush, sparkling glitter eye makeup, and then at the end, Adonis spins around and looks in the mirror, and he's like, oh, it's so beautiful, it's so great.
More TNT, Adrian Adonis and Jimmy Hart, along with the...
Hi.
We, beat Jack.
Hi, Jack, how you
Jack,
doing?
Jack Darling.
Hi, Jack.
My last name
is Jack. Shake hands, we got my hand right in, hold the microphone. What are we going to do here now?
Well, we're going to make this gorgeous man even more beautiful because he deserves it and he can be, right?
Now, Adrian, is this everyday wear or is this
a special occasion and just show everybody across the United States what I want to do?
Okay. All right.
All right. The first thing we're going to do is put on a little bass because we can improve nature's perfection easily.
It's going to be tough.
You're going to like this. You're going to look like you came from Florida. Just a little bit, not too much, because we don't want your fans to not recognize you.
I think I read sometime in the past that this gimmick change was kind of Vince's way of punishing Adonis for putting on weight. Are you familiar with any of that?
I had heard that, but it's one of those things where you read about it, but I had never seen anything like official, but you know how wrestling news works. So, I don't 100% know for that to be a fact or not, but yes, I had seen that as well.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, because it was one, it's a very stark difference of personality for Adrian Adonis. And I don't, from what little I know of Adrian Adonis' personal life, it doesn't seem like he was a you know, a real life situation.
Not at all. Adrian was married and had two children. And you know, at this time he was in his early, mid 30s, when all of this is kind of going on. And, for people who maybe are listening to this and saying, well, who the heck is Adrian Adonis? He actually died about 3 years after all of this adorable Adrian Adonis stuff was going on. So his career, his life was cut, very short. But yeah, so you obviously watched this and saw this as being kind of an over the top stereotype then of how homosexuals were portrayed, on TV at that time, at least.
Yeah. And I think that's something else that we should address is, again, this is around 1986 that this happened. And even looking back at, films, television shows from this era, judging, you know, looking at them through today's eyes, it's really interesting to see how the gay stereotype was still being played up. And one thought that comes to mind right now is Bronson Pinchot's character in Beverly Hills Cop. Serge, I believe his name is. But, you know, it's a very effeminate, very, yeah, just over-the-top homosexual personality.
Yeah, I was thinking of, and his name is escaping me, but the guy from Revenge of the Nerds. Lamar, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, And that's kind of the other thing that I want to talk a little bit about, because obviously Jimmy Hart, Adrian Adonis, both bad guys. And I've done a YouTube video on this several years ago, but talk to me from your perspective or your thoughts, you know, villainizing, if you will. And I don't remember Bronson Pinchot's character, but was pop culture back in the 80s vilifying the homosexual community, or was that just something going on in professional wrestling, do you think?
I think you'd have to take a case-by-case study. I think for the most part, the gay personality was just an over-the-top. I don't remember it so much as being a nefarious thing. I think it was played more for laughs, both in the cases that we made, Beverly Hills Cop and Revenge of the Nerd. Are both comedy, so obviously you're hoping they're going for laughs.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't remember, I'm trying to think of any film or television show that would have portrayed a homosexual character as the, you know, ultimate bad guy, like a killer, or, I know I just watched the Brian De Palma film Dressed to Kill, which came out in 1980, which was about a transvestite, or a transsexual, killer, which is interesting to look again at how things were treated 30, 40 years ago with how they are now. But yeah, I think it was more in line of, I would even go back and really testing the age of the listener, Paul Lynde, I believe is his name.
Yes. From, Hollywood Squares.
Yeah. Hollywood Squares, where it's like this very, something you don't take serious. And so I think that's the case with Adrian Adonis is it wasn't like, you know, you can even go further into like when Goldust came in and there was the pseudo homosexual aspect of that character, but it was treated more like, oh, he's a dangerous opponent. I think Adonis at this time was treated as kind of a joke in the ring from what I remember.
Yeah, I agree. And I think too, the difference, because right before you mentioned Goldust, I was thinking of Goldust. And I feel like WWE back then, you know, in mid-95, so we're talking about a 10-year separation between Adonis and Goldust. WWF or WWE, I remember very specifically Adrian Adonis saying he was gay. Like, he actually used the words, "I am gay." Whereas Goldust, it was always inferred, but I don't think it was ever said out loud. And then, of course, there was the whole incident with Jerry the King Lawler, where he makes the accusation and calls him, you know, what would now be considered a slur in the homosexual community, and Goldust pops him one. So I don't remember Goldust ever really, although he was very effeminate and did the things with Razor Ramon and some of the other, you know, Ahmed Johnson and those guys. Adonis was clearly at least being marketed as a homosexual character. Now, WrestleMania 20, WrestleMania 2, pardon me, rolls around, and back then this was WrestleMania was the only pay-per-view going on with WWF. He gets a victory over Uncle Elmer. He's wearing his long sundress, and Elmer, you know, rips it up and, you know, beats him up, and it's the hillbilly versus the gay guy. But Adonis gets the victory. And then we go into the spring and summer, and Rowdy Piper is off on hiatus, I believe, probably filming They Live.
I believe so.
So in his absence, we are treated to a new talk show segment. Instead of Piper's Pit, we now have The Flower Shop. And this is kind of, watching an old episode of The Flower Shop is actually kind of what propagated this for me to bring onto a discussion. And before we get to that point, many months earlier, Piper had introduced Adonis on Piper's Pit. Piper was still a bad guy, of course. Adonis was a bad guy. They embraced, and Piper was fine with Adrian's chosen lifestyle. But then this is where I kind of wanted to get to the discussion with things that don't age well. I'm not saying that the homosexuality part of it does not age well. I think, obviously, in 2018, society is much more accepting of the gay community. But what happened, there are several weeks where Adonis is doing the flower shop. Piper comes back. There's a confrontation. And during the course of this confrontation, this war of words, Piper says along the lines of, Adonis is a freak show, and he doesn't want his kids exposed to this.
You've turned this into a cartoon, and what I am trying to stop is a cartoon by this idiot over here. That is what I am trying to stop. This is America. We are allowed to dress as we are, come as we want, go as we want, do exactly what we please. I have children. I don't want my children watching this idiot. I do not want it.
This is a very telling thing to say, because in 1986, I would say the lion's share of the audience was children. You know, you had all the action figures, and it was the whole it was the cartoonish era. The rock and wrestling was still going on. There were so many kids watching this product. So for Piper to say that kind of got me thinking. Was this? Again, we're vilifying the homosexual. And the fans, if you go back and watch this Piper's Pit, or it was a Piper's Pit Flower Shop kind of mashup where they're going against each other, the fans were just eating up everything Piper was saying. And Piper hadn't officially turned babyface yet, but of course, after what happens during this episode, he is a full-fledged good guy.
I want to tell you something. I am doing this for one reason. I am not trying to be the nicest guy in the world. I am not trying to run for president. What I think this guy's doing to wrestling is damn right sickening. I think that you looking like that and making just a complete idiot of yourself like that, I think that for my sport, it is absolutely silly.
What are your thoughts, though, when you hear this kind of thing going on, 1986 again, kind of keeping it in context? But I don't think there were any other kind of TV shows you would have watched at that time where you would have seen such a stance being taken against someone who is out of the closet homosexual.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch that segment. As I said, at the WWE Network, did not bring anything up when I searched for it. I didn't even think about YouTube. So I'm trying to go off of memory here. And one point I want you to fill in for me, just for my own memory's sake, is Cowboy Bob Orton had been Piper's second on Piper's Pit. And yes, obviously was in his corner at WrestleMania 1.
Right.
And while Piper was gone, Ace jumped over to the flower shop, started wearing a pink cowboy hat.
Yes. And Adrian was calling him AC. So, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So there was that aspect as well. I'm trying to recall. I think, obviously, looking back now, yeah, this is probably not well thought out, because it actually, compared to WWE looking today, actually turned out to be well thought out and well booked. But yeah, the comments were you know, it's going back and looking at how things were in the 80s to mm-hmm. where this type of speech and this type of attitude was not considered, for lack of a better term, wrong. Like there right. were, it was much more prevalent that obviously the homosexual character would be, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to make a coherent statement.
And I think probably part of what you're trying to say is, you know, back then, you know, trying other than the few movie references that you made, there wasn't a whole lot of positive, and I don't want to say positive, but, you know, the homosexual community was not well represented. You know, Adrian yeah. Adonis was, and I hate to speak ill of the dead, but he was not your prototype wrestling, you know, he wasn't a Rick Rude or a Hulk Hogan or a Jesse Ventura body type. And, you know, he had the bows and the pink and the bleach blonde hair and everything else. So he was just this over the top stereotype. And for whatever reason, you know, fans just did not buy into that character. And I don't know if it's because he was already a bad guy, so it was easier to keep that stereotype or that dislike for him going.
Yeah, I think, again, I'm trying to think back, put myself back into the 80s. And the only other person I can think of who had mainstream appeal would have been Boy George.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at how Boy George presented himself at the time.
Yeah.
And it's not like people didn't like Boy. I mean, Culture Club was very popular.
Right.
Especially with, I would say, the teenage to early 20 or 20-something audience. Boy George was popular. No one – yes, there were probably jokes made, you know, that you would say.
Sure.
Let's just call it locker room talk.
Sure. Absolutely.
But – for the most part, you know, you're going like, okay, Culture Club is a good band. These are good songs. And like you said, I think also by Adrian Adonis being a bad guy, and we have to remember that back in this time, you look at how the crowd reacted. It wasn't – the crowd wasn't as smarky as it is now,
mm-hmm.
where even if Adrian Adonis was a great worker and the crowd would appreciate it, it was, no, he's the bad guy. Piper, like you said, is kind of quasi-face at this point and would turn face. And so you cheer the face, you boo the heel. It's not, and I would be curious, you know, had they tried to make Adonis a face at the time, what the crowd reaction would have been. And I think that would have been more telling of how the WWE audience, or I guess the WWF universe, mm-hmm. would have reacted at the time, or, you know, what their acceptance level would have been, or if they would have just booed him because of the homosexual character. Because again, you look at Goldust, who was booed upon initial appearances, characterization of the Goldust character, but then eventually transitioned into a face. And I think it's because of Dustin Rhodes' personality as Goldust and the fact that he can work a good match.
Right. And that becomes kind of the talk too, is because, you know, we watch wrestling to be entertained. And I think sometimes fans who do watch and become very critical of the product have a hard time separating that character from the person who is behind the character. And you and I have had several discussions about this via text and other forms of communication. Now, you know, when it comes to the homosexual characters, you also have to bring up Chuck and Billy, who probably the most recent case I'm thinking. I mean, no one else is popping into my head immediately, at least. And I'll ask you about another one that I'm not 100% sure about in just a second. But, you know, when Chuck and Billy did their whole thing, they were the bad guys as well. But then they started becoming accepted as this homosexual couple. Glad, you know, when the proposal happened, and then it all kind of turned into a ruse. And that was something else that I enjoyed that storyline and the way it played out as well. And I know that there are people who were upset and who were not, you know, wrestling fans, as I mentioned, members of the GLAAD community, who saw that as an insult or a slap in the face, but it was all a story. And that's, again, where wrestling becomes kind of that area of what's real and what's not real. You know, am I being worked here, or is this real? And that's where I think fans do come into question and say, you know, Roman Reigns' leukemia diagnosis, for example, is this a work or is this for real? Because there have been so many times that, and you and I as fans knew that Chuck and Billy were not really going to be getting married. And it's, you know, the community, the public, the general public was kind of worked into that and thought that that's what, where we were going. And we all know how wrestling weddings really work out as wrestling fans. So we knew that wasn't going to happen. My other question for you, though, is about, and I know you watch a little bit more of NXT than I do, Velveteen Dream, what is his status?
Yeah, I mean, Velveteen Dream is one that I don't know myself. I think the character is supposed to just be androgynous, mm-hmm. kind of. I mean, obviously he's taken on a lot of Prince's personality or persona. But you look at Velveteen Dream, and he is the fan. I mean, he came in as a bad guy, but he's, I think, slowly being turned face by the fans because they've, again, it goes back to appreciating the character work and the in-ring ability of the guy. And so, yeah, it's not seen as in the same sense as the adorable Adrian Adonis character. It's more of, okay, this is just who this guy is, but he can back up what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate him. The other one that I was thinking of, you mentioned Billy and Chuck. The other one that I can think of a few years later was Orlando Jones.
Yeah, or Jordan.
Orlando Jones is a comedian. Probably has about the same career path right now as Orlando Jordan. But when Orlando Jordan came out as bisexual, then he left WWE and went to TNA, and it became very kind of over-the-top sexualized, having like spurting baby oil or other stuff on him, on himself, and rubbing it in. Mm-hmm. And then I think he had like two guys accompanying him that were very effeminate. In the same way, you know, going in mentioning Velveteen Dream, one that I'm also kind of quasi, like, I don't really know what the character is supposed to be or where the real life aspect is Castle, who has the boys, who are two guys in like booty shorts coming out with peacock feathers because he's the party peacock, Dalton Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that, yeah, it's still, the fans appreciate it and respect the character work, but the underlying sexuality is just kind of there for your own interpretation. It's not the main focus.
And
from what I've seen of.
Yeah, and I think that in general, though, professional wrestling, since before even you and I started watching, and I mean, you go back to the Gorgeous George days, they've always kind of taken any character, not just the homosexual ones, and over the top, you know, made these individuals more flamboyant, more stereotypical. You mentioned Orlando Jordan, for example, with, you know, the innuendo with the baby oil and whatnot. Also, you know, there are professional wrestlers who are gay in real life, but their characters, that is not reflective of their characters. I know some on the independent scene and then others, you know, Darren Young, for example, who was with WWE for many years. And I don't think they ever once, even after he came out of the closet publicly on Twitter, I don't think the Darren Young, you know, there was never any kind of reference or storyline built out of that, was there?
No, I don't think there was anything, because they didn't really do anything with the primetime players mm-hmm. that he was a part of. And again, he just actually wrestled for Chikara at the King of Trios this past September.
Yeah.
And again, there was no mention, at least from what I heard during their matches. He was presented as just a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I, on one hand, I can say good, because in my own personal feeling, and this is where maybe the hate mail or hate tweets will come in, I don't care about people's sexuality. When someone comes out, like, I can understand from, I guess, the gay community saying, well, it's, you know, when someone comes out, it's a positive for someone who might be questioning their own sexuality. So I understand that aspect. I just don't care. And so I'm kind of over, like, everybody, like, do whatever you want. Just the same way with, like, heterosexual couple. I'd do it on your own time. I don't care.
Right.
So I think for a case like Darren Young, where it's like, okay, he's a gay wrestler, what does that mean in terms of wrestling? But I think WWE could have done something with the character, or not even the character itself, but with the person, and you know, maybe had him appear at GLAAD events or other things to kind of. And I'm surprised, actually, I think if he was still there in WWE right now, given how this is, as we've joked about, being the at the PC era, but the public relations era,
mm-hmm.
where everything is done not for, like, entertainment, but for headlines and press releases, I wouldn't be surprised to see him being kind of, for lack of a better term, pimped out to these types of organizations and events. But yeah, there's, I don't think that there's, if a guy is or female, because actually on the WWE roster right now, it's not Saria, it's Sonya Deville,
mm-hmm.
is, I believe that's the one. I hope I have the correct one. You know, she is a lesbian, but it's not mentioned. It's not built up. It's not part of the character, because it does, I don't think it needs to be in the term, in the context of a wrestling match. And obviously, I think, you know, you go back to Goldust and Adonis and even Gorgeous George, where that aspect of homosexuality was played up in their matches, where, you know, you, the Goldust rubbing Razor Ramon, giving Ahmed Johnson mouth to mouth. And I think that's the aspect that really doesn't hold up well, because it is playing more of a, I guess, predatorial type character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. And it is Sonya Deville who you were referring to. So I did want to double check and make sure. So, you know, this is the very first episode that we're kind of exploring things that didn't age well or, you know, didn't go, you know, probably wouldn't work in 2018 WWE. So we don't really have a specific format or a formula here. So we're kind of bouncing around and we'll fine tune it as we go along for future episodes. But Chad, so the question becomes now, 2018, do we see a Rowdy Roddy Piper type reaction to an adorable Adrian Adonis character? Or is there too much backlash? Is the world too, as you said earlier, PC? Or could we still have a storyline that goes like this? Or would the roles be reversed? And would Piper be the villain here and adorable Adrian Adonis the good guy?
I think that would be the most likely situation now, where mm-hmm. you would portray the effeminate character as the good guy, or as at least the one who would ultimately win the war, to mm-hmm. say. And yeah, I think times have just changed. I don't think, you know, I'm also thinking back Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 6.
Right.
I believe it's 6, you know, half black Piper, half white Piper.
Where, right.
Piper got a lot of things that probably would not fly today. And again, it's the time that it happened. It just is what it is. But yeah, I definitely think, I don't think we would see anything on, especially in WWE, which one is a publicly traded company and has so many business deals to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid any negative publicity. I know, not taking into account the current Saudi Arabia show that recently happened. But I just can't see them doing that. Now, on a smaller independent level, oh, I totally think you would still get something just for the either shock value or trying to get attention onto a promotion.
So, yeah, so then that begs the question. I mean, should there be, or are there taboo things that you think, and I know WWE is obviously a whole different animal because of being a publicly traded company, and we've seen some of the backlash and many people saying that they are canceling their network subscriptions over Crown Jewel, and, you know, other backlash from things and incidents like that. But Could a smaller company, could an independent company, maybe one that's not even on TV, but just trying to get that recognition, does that make it okay? Because things that were accepted 20, 30 years ago, can we talk about these things? Can we do these things again in today's society? Or are there certain things, and we'll, you know, eventually we're going to go down the road and we'll talk about racism in professional wrestling and talk more about those kinds of stereotypes too. I would imagine there are, though, at least to me, there are certain areas that you don't want to open that Pandora's box, whether it's for entertainment purposes or not. But in your view, do you think there are things that pro wrestling should stay away from? Because it is pro wrestling, again, is a slippery slope because there is some realism involved, but there's also that entertainment aspect involved.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it earlier. That's one of the biggest, I think, hindrances with wrestling is there is really no separation between especially for characters that use their real names. But I think if a promotion tried to do something outrageous, kind of like the topic at hand, Adonis and Piper, in this day and age, just to get attention, I think it would be a lot of backlash. I think, and I think it would be probably a smaller promotion who you're probably not going to pay attention to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. It's going to be a promotion that probably wouldn't have the best reputation to begin with that would try something like it. And I'm trying to remember, you know, about 10, 12 years ago, there was a promotion that only ran 3 shows. They were called Totally Tool Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a joke promotion with a bunch of guys based out of Chicago. And I'm trying to remember if they had an effeminate character, because I know they had like a falls count somewhere match and a first man standing where two guys were duct taped to chairs and they had to try to get loose and stand up. But it was done, again, it was done as a joke. It wasn't to be taken serious by anyone. But yeah, I don't think you'll see a Piper Adonis type situation in 2018 or later from a serious promotion.
All right. Well, I think that kind of wraps up the discussion, unless there was anything else you wanted to throw in there and talk about tonight.
No, I think I try to make some valid points, and hopefully next time I'll actually do some research and remember that YouTube exists so I can find things to watch. But yeah, I'm just going to plug Positive Cynicism again, episode 65 and 66, judging the past through the eyes of today. Because I think it kind of goes along with what we're saying here. And it is a interesting, I think, topic of discussion. And again, I'll just want to reiterate, please, if you're listening to this and you have opinions, one, we'd like to hear them. So hit us up on social media. But also, just start talking to people. And again, as I've said on this show, I believe, and on many Positive Cynicisms, talk to hear, not to just to talk. And try to understand your fellow man a little better. And there's no place for hate in the world.
Very well said. You can check out Chad at Chad Smart on Twitter. He also has a Positive Cynicism page set up on Facebook, as well as PositiveCynicism.com. He's got blogs and links to the podcast there. As always, check out at Kevin Huntsperger on Twitter and at My123Cents. And we'll keep you updated and hopefully entertaining. And if there is a "that didn't age so well" kind of situation you'd like to hear us talk more about, let us know. Hit us up on social media. Thanks everyone so much for listening and have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.